Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, despite an apparent decline in reading and all sorts of funding problems, the Irish Library Network is still with us. And while libraries have vastly extended the range of what they offer, there's still a comforting old-fashioned aspect to them. If you're looking for a particular book, you might have to wait. Something Colm O'Regan has been pondering today in the Examiner. Afternoon, Colm.
Afternoon.
Are you recently returned to using libraries, or have you always?
There was a gap. Say from age 15 to 25, say, kind of thing. But it's always there for you. I just feel like it's and recently using it a bit more, especially since having children, but also realizing as I say in Examiner, sometimes when I'm down, I think about the fact that libraries exist, and it just cheers me up because it's just a thing that is not looking for anything from you. Mm-hmm. They're not looking for your, they're not harvesting you for clicks. They don't want your money. They don't care about your attention span. They're just like, you know, we're here. And if you want to sit down and read a book, we're here. And I just like the idea of that, plus the actual fact of going to one. So I'm a big fan of libraries.
Yeah. And so when you go into a library, what is it about the kind of ambience of a library that you enjoy?
It's almost the lack of ulterior motive about the library. I might be getting this wrong now, but I think there's a concept called the third space that a lot of people talk about. So home is one space, work is another space. And they talk about the fact that communities need a third space, which isn't where you have any obligation. You don't have to spend money. And it's places where you can meet other people. Like, so often libraries have community areas, but also just sit down and think. And I think it's the, first of all, books are comforting. There's a lovely sound in a place that's full of books. It's a certain
nice. And a smell as well, actually.
Yes, yeah. They're kind of muffled. And I think I'm probably always trying to recapture the most evocative smell, which is the mobile library that used to come to Dripsy, where I'm from. Mm. And it would park near the local pub. And sometimes it would park on a slope, so that the floor sloped a bit, like, you know, they call it the Dutch tilt in cinema, where, if you're not familiar with it, remember the Adam West Batman from the 60s? All the villains, their lairs were always at a tilt. So yeah. I always remember this this mobile library and the smell particularly of that. And yeah, I love that. He mentioned in the intro having to wait. Like, you go in, there could be a book that you'll land upon on serendipity. But if you're looking for a book, you go on to mylibraries.ie or whatever, and you look for the book and they'll say, we do have it, but somebody else has it at the moment. So if you wouldn't mind, just reserve it and we'll let you know when it's back. And I just think in the world of on demand and get this now, no more waiting, immediate delivery, just telling adults, because we're always telling children, I'm sorry now, you'll have to wait and you'll have to share. And just, I think it's actually good to be told, wait, and then it'll be there for you. And
And is that book in your library, or could that book come from any library?
That's what I love about it. It's like the Pony Express. It's like the library, the book, they'll tell you. It's currently on the shelf in Letterkenny, and we'll have somebody send it down for you. And I just imagine, of all the van, I'm making this up now, but of all the van drivers on Ireland's roads, the fella who does the library delivery, fella or woman who does the library delivery, must be under the least time pressure. I'm not saying that they're not working their butts off, but I'm just saying they're not under that self-employed delivery driver peeing in a bottle, trying to find a place to park. It's just like, I've got to collect those books now. The looks like they need me, and then they'll bring them down to Inchicore, where I live. And I love the idea of the book, just, you're summoning the book from a shelf somewhere, like a wizard, that it floats across the country. And then they get an email saying, your book's here. And it's next to an email saying that book you should have brought back 3 weeks ago should come back. But now, that's gentle.
Well, actually, that was interested to read that, because I didn't know this. They've done away with fines.
7 years, I think. I think since before COVID, they did away with fines. It's a worldwide thing where libraries are getting rid of fines. They were spending more chasing people with letters than they were getting them back. There were people who were afraid to come to the library and wouldn't come back. So books came back and people came back when they got rid of fines. And because there was never much money in it, really. It was a sort of, I suppose, sure, you can't trust people, actually. You know, they'll take the books. I think possibly because there's so many books now. It's not like anyone's going to make a living out of harvesting books out of a library. Not going to be giving anyone ideas. But and you get the email saying, would you not bring the book back? Like, and you do. So it's the whole experience. I mean, and there isn't anyone shushing you, but it is kind of, it's self-policing, I think. You'll kind of find when you go in, you're not necessarily going to be taking a a large loud phone call in there, and you know, and the children love it. I love, you go in and the children, I see them just lying on a carpet, like reading a book and engrossed. So, yeah, big fan.
And they're still quiet places.
They're quiet, but they're not, I find it's not po-faced quietitude. Mm. Like, you don't rarely, like, if there's messing going on, then can you stop messing?
Yeah.
But there's I would call it a sprinkle of chatter from the children's section and, a bit of muttering. But it's people keeping their own level. Mm. You know, there's nobody kind of, there's no angry glares, as I say, unless it's acting the maggot, which is, that's a different category.
And when you go in, like, I assume there are people in there who are sitting in reading. Who goes into libraries?
Yeah, there's the serendipitous persons, the people with kids. I love it's the newspaper reading area in every library, and it often feels like it's the same cast of men in every library around the country. Like, I could draw them for you. Same hat, same scarf, same mysterious bag, and reading the newspaper. But I think that's brilliant. Like, you know, lads of a certain age, where do they go if they don't want to drink? You know, and it's a place, I'd say, that a lot of men find a lot of solace there, for you can go and not be bothered and not expect a conversation, particularly if you don't want to talk.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and also I think it's one of the few places now where opening out a broadsheet newspaper, whether to
require some room,
whether to give it the full albatross, or so that you can fold it back in. It's not, you know, you can't really do it on a packed Lewis, and you're the only one. Who's the weirdo with the pamphlet?
Yes.
So I think it's still a place where you can see the old fashioned craft of reading the inner pages of a broadsheet paper.
Yeah.
But my daughter, it was funny. I was in Kevin Street Library with my daughter, and she picked up the paper, and she was like, "How do I get?" In it, so I had to show her the fold and fold.
Like,
it
felt that's like, a life skill. Yeah, sadly a dying life skill.
It felt like I was teaching her to snare a rabbit or whittle.
Compositing.
Yeah.
Would you be a borrow one book at a time person, or do you take two or three?
Well, it depends on what's in the reserve. Often I have a full bag from the children's books, or there might be 10 or 12 of them anyway. But there'll be one I'm aiming for, and a couple of coming along for the ride. And I might only read the first chapter of one and then bring it back. But I it's always, you know, when you go and you reserve a book, and then your books are in alphabetical order, so people can kind of guess what books you're checking out. So I'm always kind of conscious of, like, I probably won't order the porn history of porn, just so that, you know, the O'Regan, I'm O'Regan, and like the O'Reilly's and the Reddies next to me kind of going, what's that pervert checking out of the library? But no judgment.
No, of course not. No.
But yeah, there is a serendipity walking. You might have aimed for a book, and then you'll find one going, oh, I wonder what that's about. So,
Yeah. And you I understand you also take out DVDs.
You can do DVDs as well, too. Yeah. And quite recent ones. This isn't like, you know, 300 copies of, like, Police Academy 7. Like, this is up to date stuff. So
yeah, okay.
It's a perfectly legitimate alternative to streaming. You just have to wait and you have to share.
Yeah. That's a lovely thought. Colm, thanks a million for coming in.
Ireland Reads is tomorrow. That's
oh yes, Ireland Reads is tomorrow. Yeah, that's a very good point. Excellent point. Library service is great now, and some are open late night. They could grow more into the community centre, says Robert. Very well established in my library culture and set up in Sweden. We love it. My daughter does Teo Tretton, 10 to 13 years old. Nobody older or younger is allowed in. It's great for kids. Someone else says, my kids love seeing where the books they request have come from. It's great for them to wait for something in life. They're 11, 9 and 7, all avid readers. Good for them. I have such wonderful memories of going to the library with my late dad. We loved our shared interest in books. I've not been into one for years. Maybe now.
Go for it now.
Yeah. That's probably where he learned to fold a broadsheet as well.
There isn't a €300 fine on that book. Bring it back.
Bring it back. Thanks, Colm. Take it handy.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.